Cannabis Business Minds, we train and mentor professionals, entrepreneurs, and aspiring entrepreneurs on how to confidently find their place in the legal cannabis and hemp industries. Come on and join us at CannabisBusinessMinds.com.
Welcome to another segment of the podcast that I, Jen Flanagan, am hosting today. I have Sahar Basaisen with me. And Sahar is really an amazing person to talk to, not only because she specializes in an issue that is so important, but I love when badass women are part of this industry and are taking on more of the technical and more heady type pieces of the industry. So Sahar, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and your role at Vicente or how you got here?
Thank you. So I'm Sahar Ainasazian. I am one of the partners in the Los Angeles office at Vicente. I've been with Vicente since the summer of 2017, which when I say that doesn't feel like such a long time ago. And then when I actually look on a calendar, I realize it is an entire era ago. This is before California even had licensing rolled out. So a completely different era. When I started at Vicente, I specialized more on the regulatory side of things. That was really what was called for in the industry at the time. And since then, I have transitioned into a role on the corporate team. So doing everything, you know, that requires essentially a contract, M&A, debt financing, licensing agreements, you know, putting together entities and everything in between. And I also establish and chair the firm's banking group. And the banking group piece kind of harkens to how I got my start in cannabis, which is before coming to Vicente, I was the director of regulatory and government affairs for a money transmitter that specialized in cannabis payments. And I figured, you know, why waste that knowledge? So brought that over with me to Vicente, established the banking group, and part and parcel with the banking group is really addressing one of the consistent pain points that I think has had, unfortunately, not as much progress as, you know, the other pain points that we've seen in cannabis. So with respect to the banking group, you know, obviously working with operators and ancillaries to get them depository institutional accounts. So literally a place to go and put their money in as far as like a checking account for their business, but also working with financial institutions that are looking to get into this space, whether from a depository front or looking at lending, and then also looking at possible cash alternative payment methods to see, you know, if there's anything out there that actually will work for our clients in a compliant manner.
So you talk a lot about compliance, and the reality is the cannabis industry is very highly regulated. How does the lack of federal legalization impact the banking part of compliance for the cannabis industry? I mean, there are a lot of institutions that if you walked into them would say to you, yeah, sorry, you know, not us.
So the issue, and you know, we'll kind of nerd out a little bit here with statutes and whatnot. The issue is that cannabis, of course, is illegal. And so everything that is all the funds that are derived from cannabis operations, even if these are state legal cannabis operations, are still considered illegal pursuant to the Controlled Substances Act, as well as the banking statutes that are touched by this. Generally, it is unlawful to enter the proceeds of unlawful activities into the United States banking system. Now, in February of 2014, the United States Department of Treasury's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, FinCEN, put out a memorandum called the FinCEN Guidance. It's, I think, under 10 pages last time I counted. And it talks about how financial institutions can take on cannabis related accounts and still be able to satisfy all of their own regulatory requirements, all the BSA, AML, and whatnot requirements. And it has a list of red flags, and it has three kinds of suspicious activity reports that have to be filed. And that really is the crux of cannabis banking. Now, back in 2018, when the Cole Memorandum was rescinded, the FinCEN guidance was not touched. So the FinCEN guidance, what is it, a little over 9 years later now, is still very much in effect. And it's still very much, you know, the Bible of what we look at for cannabis banking. And the FinCEN guidance, through the red flag list that it has, is very, very clear that in order to be able to bank a cannabis operator, the bank has to ensure that that cannabis operator is wholly, wholly in compliance with the enforcement priorities of the federal government when it comes to cannabis, as well as the state-specific requirements for holding the license. So when it comes to banking in cannabis, like all other things in cannabis, compliance is, you know, the beginning, the end, the middle, it's everything.
And it's really interesting because the credit union that I go to, which I know is different than a bank, pulled me aside back when I was on the Cannabis Commission and asked me where the money was coming from, because they weren't sure they wanted to hold even my checking account there anymore. And I had been a customer for 40 years, you know, since I was born.
It's funny that you say that, because a lot of financial institutions, when it comes to government entities that collect taxes or collect fees from anything related to cannabis, will look at the government institution as essentially having cleaned or laundered the cannabis money. It's interesting.
It was funny when they pulled me aside and they're like, we hate to ask you this. I'm thinking, you know, my money comes from the government. Like, I get paid by taxpayer dollars. But yet since coming to Vicente, they haven't asked me since. So maybe I kind of pushed them off a little. How is cannabis banking different from what people know as traditional banking? I mean, you talked a lot about the compliance piece, and there must be parts that go on inside banking regulations that we as consumers don't even know about.
So first and foremost is that you can't just walk into any bank or any credit union. You can't walk into any financial institution, we'll call it, and just be able to get a business account like any other normal business would. You know, if you own a shoe store, if you own a bakery, if you own whatever else, you walk into the business, you walk into your bank, you have your business plan, you've got, you know, your the documents that are for your business entity formation and whatnot, you give it to them, you sign a couple forms, and then you have your bank account and you're ready to go. With respect to cannabis, if you walked into Citibank, if you walked into Chase, if you walk into Wells Fargo, you can have hundreds of millions of dollars in there from another business. They will not take you on because they won't touch cannabis. You have to go to a financial institution that understands how to bank cannabis, that has worked with its regulators to set up a cannabis-specific due diligence system for onboarding and ongoing clients in order to be able to even, you know, get an account there. So the first big difference is that you have to find the right financial institution. When you find the right financial institution, expect to have far more due diligence run on you than you otherwise would. The financial institution will ask for things like, you know, your license first and foremost, if you're an operator. They may ask for pieces of your application or redacted application. They will ask for, you know, any communications that you've had with the regulators that may show any problems with your license. They may, they may even ask to come on site. I think way, way back in the day, there used to be financial institutions that would want to do site checks of operators. One big thing is that they're going to do everything in their power to ensure that all of the funds that are coming into their financial institution from your licensed cannabis business are solely from licensed cannabis operations. So, you know, whether that means being able to check the deposits that you make against your track and trace system, or anything else, they're going to do a really, really deep dive all the time on the money to understand where it's coming from. So that's another, you know, bit of difference to expect. And also, you know, they're going to keep up, or if, you know, if they're doing their job right, they're going to keep up with the applicable state regulations. So if a change in regulation comes, expect your bank to call you and ask you, how are you handling this? How are you staying on top of this? So, you know, the crux of it really is that the difference here is that it's a lot more involved, banking cannabis, and it's going to be a lot more questions. It's going to be a lot more digging, and you're frankly going to be in touch with your banker or, you know, your credit union representative far more than you otherwise would be. So that's, you know, that's what it takes from the regulatory perspective. And then, you know, what kind of also veers from the traditional banking are the fees. So we discussed how in depth it is to be able to bank a cannabis business, how much extra work it takes. And there's also an extra amount of risk that's taken on by the financial institution. So the mix of that extra work and extra risk has traditionally resulted in higher banking fees.
So how does someone find a bank though? How, if you're starting out and you're an operator, an applicant, are they advertising? I mean, because you've got those federal regulations on what you can advertise based on the words cannabis.
So when I first came into the cannabis industry, I used to, you know, joke, but not really joke, that I would be more willing to give you my social security number and my mother's maiden name before I gave you my list of banks that were taking on cannabis, unless, you know, you were a client or something like that. Nowadays, luckily, there are more financial institutions that are publicly coming into this space, talking about, you know, supporting their communities by providing banking services to the cannabis industry. So finding them is not as hard, but, you know, the best way to do it is to ask the right people. So your network of attorneys, your network of accountants, your network of cannabis specialists, they will usually have a financial institution that they can, you know, provide a warm introduction to for you and make it a little bit easier. And there are also now community institutions, like I said, that are more vocal about taking on cannabis clients. There are now community institutions that we will see at cannabis events talking about, you know, we're taking on certain types of operators, we're taking on certain ancillary businesses, we would be happy to take you on and whatnot. So it's about reaching out to your network. And it's also about, you know, attending your community cannabis events to be able to find the right financial institution.
And so people, you know, when you were saying that there's going to be a lot of questions from your bankers as regs change, the operators shouldn't be as nervous if their bankers are calling. I mean, they should obviously establish a good relationship with them, but I know that a lot of people get kind of weirded out when the bank calls, right? It's like, what did I do wrong and what are they looking for? But having that relationship must be crucial to even operating your business.
It is beyond crucial. And I'll put it like this. It would make me nervous if the bank was not calling. you know, on some kind of regular cadence. Mm-hmm. When I hear about financial institutions that are just like, yeah, you know, we'll take you on and you know, we'll try to leave you alone as much as we can. That to me is a red flag. I want you involved. I want you asking questions. I want you examining the client regularly. I want you to have all of the information that I know your regulators want you to have as a financial institution.
Okay. Yeah, well, I know that, I mean, some people just get nervous with banking in general. So what can people expect when they contact a banking institution at the onset? You walk in, you say, hey, I'm applying or I'm a new applicant. What are some of the things that they should initially be telling people, in your opinion, that makes them sort of a credible partner in this?
So first and foremost, you want your bank to be wholly aware of everything that you are doing. You never want to hide the ball with your bank. That is number one. The kind of questions you want them to ask are, of course, about your license, about your operations, about your communications with the regulators, about, you know, the average volume of funds that you expect to be bringing in, your sales records, your purchases, things like that. You don't want them to sound like they know absolutely nothing about the licensing regulations in your state. You kind of want to be speaking the same regulatory language with them. If your state, for example, doesn't allow for delivery, and the bank is asking you whether you're partaking in delivery or whether you have a delivery license, that, you know, might suggest that they're not as knowledgeable on the state regulations as they should be. But you definitely want them to be digging. You want them to be asking you about your future plans. You want them to be asking you about what your anticipated needs are going to be. You want them to ask you about cash volumes. You want them to be asking you about, you know, who your partners are, things like that. So essentially, everything that you would expect a normal business to be asked, with an extra layer of cannabis-specific questions as well.
And unfortunately, a lot of, you know, people entering this industry from the beginning don't know those types of things. So it's important to make sure that there's serious, impactful questions being asked and that there's no predatory, you know, business trying to be taken from somebody.
Absolutely. And you know, don't be offended when the bank or the credit union continues to ask for more and more information. It's not that they don't trust you. It's that they have to do what their regulators require of them to be able to perform this kind of banking relationship, these kinds of banking services. Don't be upset. Don't be offended. Understand it's part and parcel with the business and give them all the information that they're looking for and then some.
A lot of times people are questioning the costs. You know, sometimes banks are charging you fees for certain services and things like that. And from the few banking institutions I've talked about, there's always been a question of how high is too high of a fee. But should operators expect that there's additional costs separate from what they normally would think is banking? Almost like a concierge type service?
It depends on the services that they are receiving. So if you're having, you know, a high number of cash pickups facilitated by the bank, for example, expect for that to be reflected. If your bank is helping you, you know, with the back end of things, bill pay and whatnot, and they market that as a specialty service, expect to be paying extra for that. If your bank is helping you with cash alternative payment methods, that's another thing to perhaps expect a higher cost for. So It really does depend on what services your bank is providing you. But if you feel like you're getting VIP service, expect to be, you know, paying for it.
Yeah, it's a lot different than when people normally set up checking accounts or deposit accounts and nothing comes of it, right? Cannabis is a
Exactly.
whole different industry.
Cannabis is a whole different industry, and this bank will be working for you. This bank will be working very, very hard for you to ensure that the pain points that you have, not just as any business, but as a cannabis business, as a highly regulated business, are met to the best of their abilities.
So what do you see as the biggest obstacles? I mean, short of federal legalization, I mean, it would be wonderful if we had that. What are you seeing in different states that you work in? Are there similar obstacles that they have? Is it state by state?
You know, I think one of the biggest difficulties that we have in cannabis banking continues to be the reputational issue that comes with cannabis. Banks are, you know, not big fans of risks. They tend to be quite conservative. And cannabis continues to carry a little bit of a reputational risk. For some, it's still seen as, you know, a bit of an illicit market and whatnot. And unfortunately, less so now, but unfortunately, that does sometimes get in the way of a financial institution being willing to expand in a cannabis practice. It'll sometimes get in the way of, you know, board members voting for any cannabis related issues. So it's the reputational issue, and then also just the sheer amount of work that it takes to take on a cannabis client. For some, that still tends to be a little bit of a turnoff.
Yeah, and I can, and it's also one area that not many people understand completely, right? And so it's hard when you have people that are serving on boards that all of a sudden get thrown into the cannabis space. It's almost like, you know, when we saw this in 2017, when adult use came to Massachusetts, all the planning boards, I mean, people were like, I never thought I'd be legalizing or be part of the legalization of a substance. I never thought this would come into my lane. And then, you know, the banks that I've talked to, some of the board members have said to me, is it worth the risk? What do we do? And unfortunately, you can't tell them what to do because it is federally illegal. You don't want them violating their due diligence or finding what their responsibilities are.
It is 100% worth the risk because a lack of cannabis banking is 100% a danger to public safety at large. Financial institutions who take on cannabis clients are not only doing an incredibly important act for their community cannabis businesses, but also their community at large. When cannabis businesses are banked, public safety tends to increase. You don't have cash just sitting there waiting, which means you have less break-ins, which means, you know, less fatalities that absolutely do not need to happen. So cannabis banking is not only a business issue, it certainly is also a public safety issue. And I really, really think the financial institutions that are doing this for their communities should be given so much credit, not just for taking on cannabis businesses, but also for making their communities a safer place.
Yeah, I guess it's interesting to think that banks have a part of that, right? Because
absolutely,
they would take more cash off the streets.
They, you know, cannabis businesses themselves, when run correctly, in my opinion, are actually beacons of compliance and models for a good community business. And when financial institutions also get in and start helping them, that's just absolutely elevated, and it is a positive for the community at large.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially, and it's interesting because as cannabis evolves through more states, we see how everything becomes integrated. We see how all pieces of this, it's not just your security system that helps public safety. It's also the banking. It's not, just the public health side of it. It's also the integrity of the space.
Exactly.
So it's been really
Exactly.
interesting to see how this has evolved.
And banks are, they are an integral piece of that. They may not always be the most exciting piece of it, but they're an integral piece of it.
Especially as, things are happening where, that big credit card shut down essentially is that you couldn't use credit cards. And now, like you said, alternative payment sources and how that plays into not only for an operator, but for the consumer as well.
Oh, I mean the credit card piece of it, we could have an entire a separate conversation about for why that should not have been happening in the first place, and what to think about when you're thinking of cash alternative payment methods, and anything that looks too good to be true, at least with respect to cannabis payments, is absolutely too good to be true.
Yeah. So what advice can you give operators or applicants seeking banking services?
First and foremost, make sure that you have your house in order before going to a financial institution to ask for an account. Make sure you have all of your business entity documents in order. Make sure that you have your license or your application in order, and you are ready to present the bank with all of the information that they will be seeking. Find a financial institution through your network that is known to take on cannabis-related businesses. Set up a time, chat with them, take your folio of information in, and then be ready to undergo a good amount of due diligence. Don't walk into the bank and expect that by the end of the week, you're going to have a bank account for your cannabis business. Understand that this is going to take a little bit of time. So, if you know you're going to need a bank account by the end of the month, make sure you go into the bank at the beginning of the month.
Those are really helpful tips. I think, hopefully as people enter this space, banking becomes a little less scary for them or a little, less intimidating for them. And I think the information that you've provided today has been so amazing. We're going to, if you don't mind, provide your information when the podcast is aired, that people can get in touch with you with a firm if they're seeking help in their services.
Absolutely, absolutely. Banking should not be scary, and your banker wants to help you, and Vicente wants to help you with your banking. So get in touch with us, and we'd love to help.
Sahar, thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's show. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you enjoyed this, leave us a 5-star review. Make sure that you share this episode on your social media and tag us in the Instagram stories. You can find us wherever you go on social media. Just look up Cannabis Business Minds. Have an idea for the show or something that you want to talk about? Shoot us an email at podcast@cannabisbusinessminds.com.